Welcome to the EFM Morning Brief podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Mitchell, and I've got some sad news today. This is our last podcast morning together, everyone. Well, for 2026. But a huge thanks to everybody who has come and been interviewed on this podcast and all the listeners out there. I hope you found this was like a fun way to start in your day. Even if you're a bit tired and sluggish, it might wake you up. So for our last episode, we have a special guest. This is a newcomer to this podcast, who is Ritesh Mehta. He is at the Berlinale as a freelance writer for IndieWire, but he wears many hats. He's got a wider perspective on the industry. He also works as a script consultant, a festival programmer, and I'm really curious to hear how Ritesh's experience has been at the Berlinale. So, Ritesh, first of all, is this your first time at the Berlinale, or had you been before?
Hey, Wendy, thanks for having me. This is my third Berlinale. It's my third consecutive one. My first was 2024, where I just came. It was like a birthday gift to myself. And then last year, I came on an industry pass, I want to say. And this year, it's press and market. So it's different hats, I guess. Yeah, but I'm enjoying it. It's very cold.
Oh, it is cold. Oh, my gosh. I had to go buy a hot water bottle at the Place Mall yesterday. How does this year compare to those other two visits do you have? Does the mood or anything feel different now that Tricia is in and her team are sort of more embedded?
Yeah, I feel I kind of was hanging out at the Gropius Bay on Friday, and I really felt that, first of all, there was a lot more people. The energy was different compared to last year. First of all, it was like a long line getting in, and there was like a sense of positivity and optimism, I feel. Even in the sales booth that I was walking past, like MK2, and I stopped by Handwave because I had interviewed Olive Nwosu for Lady, and everyone just felt, the intern was saying hello. So I don't know, it was a good mood.
Yeah, when I've walked around the MGB, it just feels like I don't see people sort of scowling and complaining and looking miserable. Everybody is kind of looking glad to be here, or maybe they're just glad to be in from the cold. Who could say? So I'm wondering, what's your take on some of the films? What have been some of your highlights that you've seen so far?
In terms of the highlights, I will say that I've seen about six competition films so far, and my two favorite ones are Rose by Marcus Schleisner, that director's third feature, and it stars the wonderful Sandra Hüller. It's this period black and white feature. The cinematography is gorgeous, and Sandra plays a soldier who's passing as a man in early 17th century Germany. The audience's response, people were just, I think, really taking it all in. There was a lot of applause at the end. Played on a Sunday afternoon in the press screening. So I think people had seen a lot of films. And having been to a bunch of these press screenings, I felt that the mood was great for this one. Another one I really, really like, that's a very long one. It's called Dao by Alain Gomez. And this is the reason I come to Berlinale and Cannes and Venice, because I just don't see these kinds of stories from sub-Saharan Africa in many American festivals, for example. So this is like a 185-minute film, so it might be tough for distribution, but I feel like everyone must watch it. It's a communal experience, and it's a communal film set between Paris and Guinea-Bissau. Beautiful film.
Great. And I just wanted to point out that Rose, yeah, I talked to some people who have seen it and really rated it. And that, as of yesterday morning, had the highest score on the Screen International jury grid, which is often a measure of like how well the competition is going down. Of course, it's just a group of, I don't know, six critics, but this, they had a score of 3.1, which was...
That's pretty high.
Yeah, puts it in the lead. And so I think, yeah, that'll be one of the films that we hope to see more international deals for instance.
I had a very interesting Valentine's Day watching two films that I don't necessarily recommend couples to go to. One is Nightborn by Hanna Bergholm. It's a Finnish horror with stars our favorite Rupert Grint, who I will say is so amazingly cast for this role, because I think only he can pull off certain scenes in this one. But the central performance by this Finnish actress, Saidi Harlow, is really committed. I will say that the funny thing in that screening was that when the credits were coming on in the beginning, there was an AI company listed in one of the production companies, and The people were just laughing out around that one. And you got to watch the film to see why the AI companies' contributions were needed, maybe. But on the one hand, I think all the tech people and the financiers are very much pro-AI, but I think salt-of-the-earth filmmakers are not for it.
I just have to mention, because I talked to Hannah Bergholm, the director of Nightborn, and it's funny that there's even any AI companies listed, because her whole ethos is to do as much SFX, not VFX, as she can. And in her first film, Hatching, she created this giant egg, and she had this amazing bird-like creature coming out of it, and that was all made of puppets. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what we're seeing in Hatching is also animatronic puppets. And I don't know how they used AI in the production. She's trying to do as much real life creature building weirdness. And I think one of the animatronic puppet guys is so experienced. He used to work on Star Wars. But yeah, I agree with you. That's a very interesting film. And I do know that film Goodfellas is handling the international sales, and they've already got quite a few sales done. I don't know if they've announced them. And that will be, I think, one of those films that will break out of Berlinale and really reach more audiences.
I think so. And also because millennials are starved to see more Rupert Grint. The other one, like in the second film for the Valentine's Day, was Rosebush Pruning by Karim Aynouz. I had seen his film Motel Destino in Cannes. It's shot by Hélène Louvard, who's one of my favorite DPs. This one is whack. It's whack. And it is not for everyone. Every year at Berlin, like I feel like last year there was this film called Reflections of a Dead Diamond. And this year is this one. It's so visually compelling, and it's like such a strong color palette. And of course we have like Elle Fanning and Jamie Bell, and then it's an amazing cast of the more higher profile films, but I don't know if it's for everyone.
It's got a really interesting cast, obviously. And I like some of Karim's films, but I was hearing, it's sort of like a Marmite film here. Somebody saying, oh yeah, that was great. And then somebody was saying, not for me. So I think it's one of those we need to see for ourselves and see where our mood strikes us. What else have you been talking about, looking at, exploring while you're here in Berlin?
Yeah, there's been two more. I've been doing a lot of interviews, and there's two more films that, one is Amy Adams at the Sea, which is directed by this Hungarian director, Cornel Mundrusko. It's such an Amy Adams vehicle, but similar to Rosebush Pruning, she is surrounded by such a capable cast, Dan Levy and Murray Bartlett and Chloe East. And it's a film about, similar to the next film I'll talk about, it's about people coming back from some sort of mental difficulty. She's coming back from like a terrible accident. So it's life after rehab, and it's set in Cape Cod. And those who are fans of Amy Adams, I would definitely recommend this film. Having seen her in Night Bitch and having seen her in this one, there's such, she's playing a mother in both, and very compelling performances. And the other one is also has the word sea in its title. It's called Queen at Sea. And that's very remarkable, this film, because it's, this director hasn't worked in 18 years. It's his first film since this 2008 film called Ballast. I don't know if you remember that one. It was set in the Mississippi Delta. That film was a big indie breakout, and then no one heard from the director. So I was his first interview, I think, after a very long time. And that film stars Juliette Binoche, who's my favorite. And that film is also very tricky subject material because it's about sexual consent and agency amongst people who have dementia. And Juliette Binoche is great, but Tom Courtenay and Anna Calder-Marshall, Tom Courtenay, you may know from 45 years, they just standout British vets. And you've got to see this film to see the kind of ensemble work that Lance Hammer has brought out.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of good films, not just for audiences and critics, but maybe also for buyers if they still need to pick up some territories.
I think the Lance Hammer film would be, I think there's not many films out there for audiences who are 70 plus, maybe, who also are dealing with mental health issues and dementia, for example, or who are caregivers, especially. So I think this film would be attractive to them. But it is a film that you've got to kind of wade through the moral dilemma on your own.
Yes. That was a great list of films, Ritesh. Thank you. I just wanted to say it was great to see already here that the new U.S. buyer, Sumerian, we've got this crop of new U.S. buyers in town, and they were the ones that won this bidding war for Josephine, which of course was the big Sundance hit that now has come here. And everybody's kind of waiting to see who was going to be the buyer for this. And I think it's a really strong sign that Sumerian, and they have a team including my old friend Rob Williams, formerly of Participant Media. But they're really making a statement in the market by buying such a hot film like that. So well done to the Sumerian team.
I was very curious to know more about Sumerian. It's not like, you know, last year we heard about Roque and Black Bear coming on and making such strong choices. And like, you know, One Two Special, especially since Jason Hellerstein started in last February. But I was surprised not to see Neon or A24 or movie, The Usual Suspects, because this film, which I saw at Sundance, which I loved, and I think everyone unanimously loved it, I was waiting to also see who the buyer was going to be. And I think I agree with you. It's a good sign that we have more indie labels coming out. And I think that's good for the ecosystem, especially in North America.
Yeah, great. Well, Ritesh, we're wishing you lots more great films to watch here in Berlin. Thank you for being here, Ritesh, and telling us some insight into this Berlinale 2026.
Thank you so much for having me.
This will be our last podcast episode, so we want to give you all the information you need, not only for today, but also for Wednesday, which will be the last day of EFM. Today, the CoPro series pitching and networking event takes place, starting at 9:30 at Cinemax, and that will present 10 selected international series projects looking for partners from some good name creators too. And there is a guest list, but you can still try for a free seat with your market badge. Later, the conference talk Rebel Rebel, series battling the status quo, will spotlight three standout titles from the Berlinale Series Market Selects program that deal with themes of uprising and social turmoil. Be sure not to miss the award ceremony for the inaugural Studio Babelsberg Production Excellence Award, which will be presented at 4 p.m. in the Studio Babelsberg Lounge. To close our round of presentations this year, House of Yang, a series where identity and mystery intertwine, will offer an in-depth talk with that creative team in this year's Berlinale Special Series lineup. All those events are at Cinemax. It's Archive Market Day. This is at Café Connect. 22 international archives will tell you about their expertise. It's a whole day to meet up with the top archive representatives for speed consultations, also talking to archive researchers and producers. At 1 p.m., you can join the Eurodoc Decolonial Archive Roadmap. At 6 p.m., Andreas Feil will be in conversation with Deadline's Matt Carey. Also at Café Connect, you will be able to join the last session of The Claim, Smart Audience Insights. This is EFM's live recorded podcast. That's at 4:30. Again, bringing some interesting industry voices. Over at the Gropius Bau, on the second floor at Innovation Hub, you can still find time to immerse yourself in a selection of XR projects at the Immersive Zone. Check out all the projects on the EFM website. Tomorrow, Wednesday, EFM presents its final day, so don't miss the Berlinale Talents Lab presentations, and this is at a new location. That is at the Radial System, and that lasts from 10 a.m. until noon. And back at Gropius Bau, this is always such a good one to end on. The Great Queer Industry Program starts at 3 p.m. Wednesday with Teddy Talks, and at 5 p.m., Speedy Pitches are in the Gropius Bau Cinema. Those are always such fun, creative presentations, and they will give you some extra energy and excitement in that last day of the market. After the pitches, good news, you're even earned another drink, and that's at 6 p.m. at the Queer Industry Reception. Even though this is our last morning podcast this year, I want to remind everybody, the Berlinale is far from over. This festival is happening until Sunday. For those diehards who can stay up that late for that many days, wonderful. You could probably fit in another 80 or 100 films between now and then. So, we will, of course, keep an eye on who's going to win the Golden Bear. All these brilliant trade journalists we've been interviewing will be covering all the breaking news of the winners, the deals, more reviews. So do keep reading those in coming days. And just a reminder, those are IndieWire, Deadline, Screen International, The Hollywood Reporter, Variety, and The Spot. So do keep supporting them and having a look at what they're writing about. We've had a lot of fun doing these six episodes. It's been so nice that everybody comes up and say, hey, I listened this morning, and that makes us all feel great. So thanks for putting up with my jokes. Thanks for getting up early to tune in. And a huge thanks to the EFM team who actually brings this all together. Manu and Zamira and our very patient and talented sound producer and editor, Titus. I hope you've all had a great EFM and Berlinale 2026 so far and have met some new people, made some new connections, or coming away inspired. So until we see each other again, take care.